Space, the final frontier. These are the episodes of the Cheap Astronomy Podcast, its self-imposed mission to talk about strange new worlds, to discuss new life and new civilizations, to cheaply go where no podcast has gone before. As we all know from watching Star Trek, the standard starship has warp drive for long hauls, impulse engines for scooting around subliminally, and thrusters to maneuver in and out of space dock. Impulse engines, as they are described in Star Trek background texts, are quite plausible in concept, even though they are not something we could build today. Firstly, they rely on fusion reactors, so they require some technology that we are yet to fully harness. But harnessing fusion is certainly feasible. We have already managed a few small-scale demonstration projects here on Earth. The fusion reactions that we have managed here on Earth use deuterium, which is a hydrogen isotope made of one proton and one neutron. Tritium has also been used on occasions, which is one proton with two neutrons. To make fusion work, particles of either deuterium or tritium are forcefully driven together. Forcefully driving them together can be achieved by electromagnets or by lasers, and it generally has to happen under very high local temperatures. We have managed to achieve particle fusion under these conditions, but we are yet to generate more energy from the fusion than was first put in to power the electromagnets, or the lasers, or whatever. Nonetheless, most people think that gaining power from a fusion reaction is just an engineering problem, and it is a nut that we will crack before long. Of course, in the Star Trek universe, that nut has long been cracked, and fusion reactors work magnificently. Star Trek impulse engines have fusion reactors that work a bit like a mini sun. So not only do you get fusion energy, but the reactions also produce charged plasma as a byproduct. The plasma can then be used as a propellant, after accelerating it through a series of magnetic coils that are themselves powered by energy produced from the fusion reactions. This is the most plausible application of fusion reactors to physically move a spacecraft. The heat and light produced by fusion aren't very effective as propellants, since they don't have mass. If you want to move quickly through a vacuum, your best bet is to propel mass in the opposite direction, in accordance with Newton's law, the one about actions and reactions. The good thing about Newton's law is that it's flexible on the point of how you gain a reaction. You can either propel a large amount of mass slowly, or propel a small amount of mass quickly. A fusion reactor can turn neutral subatomic particles into charged subatomic particles, and it can also provide the energy to accelerate those charged particles up to near the speed of light before hurling them out the back of the ship. It might not be warp drive, but such a propulsion system would be nothing to sneeze at. To make it actually work, you would need big, bloated deuterium or tritium fuel tanks bulging out around the sleek lines of your starship, and its nacelles would be long, straight particle accelerators, capable of projecting charged plasma particles out the back of the ship. But since the nacelles would be generating a lot of heat, you would certainly want to put them on long stalks to keep them well away from the rest of the ship. And it would also make sense to have two of them in the event that one breaks down. So, like we've said before in this podcast, the basic design of the Enterprise is actually quite sensible, even if it won't quite manage to do everything that it does on the show. Of course, if we are going to accept that Newtonian physics still has a role to play in Star Trek space travel, then we also need to deal with the issue of inertial dampers. Inertial dampers are a Star Trek plot device to explain why the crew are not all flung against the back wall every time the Enterprise accelerates to high speed. Trouble is, if we accept that these inertial dampers are real, it becomes difficult to see how the action-reaction mechanism of the impulse engines could work. You won't gain much speed by pushing propellant out of the back of the starship if either the propellant or the ship have their inertia damped. That's the thing with Newton's laws of motion. You can't just have one, you have to have them all. But hey, that's just a minor storyline problem. As for impulse drives, heck yeah! They might still be science fiction today, but they sound quite plausible for the reality of tomorrow.